Hey guys, welcome back to Tip to the Best Show. I'm your podcast host Chirag Arya, and here we are back again with another episode. So on 7th March, Silicon Valley Bank tweeted, proud to be on Forbes' annual ranking of America's best banks. By 10th March, SVB's stock price had dropped by 60% and the bank was taken over by an arm of the US government. So in today's episode, we try to break down what's turning out to be the biggest financial disaster since 2008. SVB reported $212 billion in assets for the fourth quarter of 2022, making it the second largest bank failure in US history, second only to Washington Mutual, whose 2008 failure came as the bank had roughly more than $300 billion in assets. Now, Silicon Valley Bank was ranked as the 16th largest bank in the United States based on the assets prior to its collapse. But how did it go from hundreds of billions of dollars to zero? With that, let's dive deep into it and let's get started. So when we think about bank, there are two major thoughts that come into our mind. First, banks are supposed to be boring, and second, it contains cash. So how does banks work? So they take deposits from people like you and me and pay us a low rate of interest, and then lend most of these deposits out to others and earn a higher rate of interest. In the process, they make a decent chunk of money. They also invest some of the money into things like bonds. Now, it may not earn much money, but they can sell these quickly in case of an emergency. And of course, they keep a bit aside in cash to be on the safe side, or at least that's how it should work. Now, SVB's main strategy was collecting deposits from businesses financed through venture capital. It then expanded into banking and financing venture capitalists, adding services to allow the bank to keep clients as they matured from their startup phase. Now, in reality, it's not so simple. A lot of these things could go wrong. Banks could make really poor lending decisions and people don't return the money. Or the bank might even make some bad investment decisions. They'll invest money in complex things they don't even understand. The economy will get into a rut and the problems at the bank will become public news. Depositors could panic, there might be a run on the bank. This means people rush to withdraw whatever money they deposited in the bank. They lose their trust and eventually the bank could collapse. Suddenly the bank is not boring anymore. Now this brings us to the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, the fabled banker to startups that has been around since 1983. This bank has been around for 40 years. And this means that SVB is quite the experienced player here. It has seen its share of bad markets, the dot-com crash, the great financial crisis, the coronavirus pandemic, pretty much everything. But 2023 was different. SVB was hit by a perfect storm. Let me explain. See, immediately after the pandemic, the US Central Bank slashed interest rates to all-time lows to nearly zero. They wanted to entice people to borrow money and spend and propel the economy. Startups benefited greatly from this too. All this easy money meant that venture capital money rushed into startups by the boatload. Investors often didn't even care about the business models, they just wanted fancy stories. And while a lot of money was burnt at the altar of growth, these startups sparked millions of dollars they had raised with banks too. Naturally, since SVB was a startup darling, it got a lot of these deposits. Between 2020 and 2022, SVB's deposits increased by 3 times. From $62 billion to $190 billion. Now, as we said, SVB could do two things with this money. Either it could lend it out or invest it. But startups already have the money of investors and they weren't asking for loans. They didn't need it because VC money was abandoned. So while the deposits tripled, loans only doubled, and SVB was left with a lot of spare cash, so they decided to invest it. Now if you're a sensible and prudent bank, you would just take that money and invest it somewhere ultra safe, such as a short-term government bond. That's the safest bet there is. You might just earn peanuts, for example, 0.25 interest, but you're a bank. Safety first is the motto for the people. So thinking is that if companies suddenly wake up and demand their money back, you can quickly sell these government bonds. There'll be plenty of buyers waiting to lap them up. Everyone's happy and everything's safe. But SVB messed up. They got a bit greedy or stupid. You figure that out. So out of the roughly $115 billion they invested, nearly $80 billion was into things that would make them even more money, give them interest of 2% and make profits look fabulous. But here's the thing about the world of finance. If you try to earn higher returns, it comes packaged with more risk. Now in SVB's case, this risk was that most of these investments were made in long-term bonds, things such as real estate securities. Now here's the thing you need to understand. All those monies the startups deposited were SVB's liabilities. The startups could demand it whenever they wanted it, at least most of it, and that made these liabilities short-term in nature. On the other hand, the SVB's investments are its asset. Now it doesn't take a genius to tell you that if liabilities are short-term in nature, its assets also better be short-term in nature. You should be able to sell the assets quickly without losing money on it and long-term real estate securities don't quite meet that definition. It's what the pros call a classic case of asset liability mismatch. So to be fair, most banks do some version of this, but SVB was, let's say, less balanced in its approach than others. Now there's one more problem. See, bonds are buyered a little differently. For starters, the price of a bond and its yield, which is another word for returns, move in opposite directions. The reason is actually simple. Imagine you pay $100 and buy a bond and you get 2% interest or a yield or return on it. Then the central bank raises interest rates. Suddenly your bond is not so attractive anymore. So you decided to sell it. Others who own the bond sell it too. Now you know that when people sell, the prices takes a knock. And let's say that the price of the bond falls to $99. Suddenly investors realize that the bond is available at a discount of 1%. So if they buy it now, they'll benefit from the discount and also get the 2% interest. Basically, as the price falls, the overall return rises and vice versa. But what's weirder is that a long-term bond is more sensitive to this inverse relationship. When the interest rate rises, its price falls by a lot. And this brings us to the perfect storm we told you about. Just look back at what happened last year. The US Federal Reserve finally raised interest rates. And it raised rates so quickly. If you have followed my explanation, you will know by now that it's not a good scenario for long-term bonds. The prices of SVB's assets fell significantly. The bank was losing at losses on its book. So in a normal environment, SVB could have held on to these bonds, waited for them to get mature and get all their money back. Because this wasn't a case of default, it was just some market volatility. But the past 12 months haven't really been what you would call normal. The startup world turned upside down when interest rates were shot up. VCs turned off the funding tap too. They started asking the hard questions about profits. Startups couldn't raise more money, and in order to keep the business running, they needed to get their hands on the money. So they asked for their deposits from SVB and they began making withdrawals. So at one point, SVB had no option but to sell its investment to make these payouts. But because interest rates had gone up, these real estate bonds lost their value and SVB made significant losses. Now, this wasn't the end of the world for SVB. The bank actually had enough money to tide over all these losses. But it had to follow the rules of the banking world, and the rules dictated that SVB needed to beef up its capital a bit because of the loss. It needed to issue shares and raise money. So SVB made that announcement, it told the world about its plan, and that's when everything unraveled. Because unfortunately for SVB, something else happened at the exact same time. The day it announced its plans to clean up the balance sheet, Silvergate, a banker to crypto firms, imploded too. It was the exact same playbook, it committed the same mistakes as SVB, and when Silvergate collapsed, it spooked the startups which banked with SVB. Word spread pretty quickly within tech circles that the trouble was brewing, and VC firms tweeted, sent memos, had conference calls, and told their investee companies to pull out money from SVB too. This trickle of outflows turned into a flood. And even though SVB CEO literally begged people to stay calm, it didn't help. The damage was already done. And at the end of the day, the same startups that SVB helped for the past many years turned their back on it. The US regulator had to step in. It took over the bank. Now, there are two major questions that are coming on everyone's mind. First, will the startups collapse? So this is a little tricky to answer. There are thousands of startups who have parked their monies in SVB. If they're not able to access it now, they can't pay their employees, they can't pay their vendors, they can't run their business as usual, and it becomes quite problematic. The other problem is that as per the rules in the US, only up to $250,000 of a person's bank deposit is insured. And startups have millions of dollars in SVB. Now, because of how concentrated its customer base is, a massive 85% of these deposits are actually uninsured. So startups with money stuck in the back have to hope and pray that the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, which has taken over the bank, can quickly sell off these assets the bank owns and make a good part of the deposits. We don't know yet how bad things could be. Now the other question that comes into the mind is, will the rot spread to other banks? So the answer to this is probably to some extent. It already spread to the Signature Bank, which we'll talk about after a while in this episode. Now SVB did some weird things and got caught in an environment where its biggest customers were in turmoil too. Now it was a perfect storm for the bank, but other banks have a diversified customer base. They might have still indulged in some poor investment decisions, but it may not come back to haunt them yet. The problems will be milder. But just like how the collapse of Silvergate played a part in bringing down SVB, SVB's collapse could scare everyone. If people lose trust in their banks and believe that all the banks have poor practices, then bad stuff may happen. They could also rush to pull their money out of the system. So you can expect banks to keep saying things like, "We are safe, we are fine," over the next few days. They just need people to believe them. Anyway, that's the SVB story. Remember, this is still a developing story and a lot can happen between today, tomorrow and the day after that. We'll just have to keep our eyes and ears open and hope that startups don't capitulate in this mess. Until then, it's the fingers crossed. Now, it doesn't stop here. Let's also discuss what other things are impacted due to this huge collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. So here are both negative and positive impacts due to the SVB failure. So let's talk about the positive ones first. So big banks like JP Morgan and HSBC will likely see their deposit base grow as customers of regional banks pull their money over the fear that their bank will run next. However, the largest bank of US and Europe by assets is positioned to capture the most new market share, whereas in India there is no large impact on the banks yet, but maybe we see something in the near future. Then it's the crypto market that saw a positive impact on the fall of SVB. The crypto market saw the changes in prices. The majority of cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin and Ethereum, saw growth. Bitcoin hit $26,000 and Ethereum over $1,700. So a lot of crypto analysts and users are thinking this could possibly lead to a bull run since people are in fear of the banks. The Twitter is filled with tweets of assumptions of a possible bull market now again. Only the coming days will answer that story. So now when people are skeptical about banks, a lot of people might turn and see the digital currency as one way to store their wealth. Now let's come to the negative impact. So firstly, shareholders will be largely impacted due to this. So on a Sunday night's bailout announcement from federal regulators made one thing clear, that all the Silicon Valley Bank shareholders are on their own. The rest of the market took a notice of that, and as I mentioned earlier, the shares in other regional banks saw the shares dropping. And lastly, it's the startups that will have a negative impact due to this, as we are already talking. The short-term concern for startups over making payroll this week seems to have been largely turned away. But it's one thing to have all your cash back. It's another to know where to put it. So SVB was a key ally to tech startups, offering services and structuring deals in ways most other banks wouldn't do. So the question is, who'll fill that gap now for the industry? So the industry will be facing few challenges due to this, but it's in the notice to see where it goes in the future. The madness doesn't stop here. So first of all, on a Monday morning, the government and the Bank of England facilitated a private sale of Silicon Valley Bank UK to HSBC for £1, which is equivalent to $1.2, making it one of the cheapest deals to acquire a bank. Now, apart from the cheapest deal in history, there's more that happening around banks. So New York-based Signature Bank was shut by regulators in the US, becoming the second bank in the country after Silicon Valley Bank to have collapsed within a span of less than a week. Now, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, has been appointed as a receiver, which typically means it will liquidate the bank's assets to pay back its customer, including depositors and others. Now, as we have talked about, one of the most prominent lenders in the world of technology startups, the Silicon Valley Bank, which was struggling and then collapsed on Friday, forcing the US federal government to step in. Now, to protect depositors, the FDIC transferred all the deposits and substantially all of the assets of Signature Bank to Signature Bridge Bank, a full-service bank that will be operated by the FDIC as it markets the institution to potential bidders, FDIC said in a statement. Now, a bridge bank is typically a chartered national bank that operates under a board appointed by the FDIC. It assumes the deposits and certain other liabilities and purchases certain assets of a failed bank. Now, Signature Bank was a large bank. It had 40 branches across the country. Now, depositors and borrowers will automatically become customer of Signature Bridge Bank and will continue to have uninterrupted customer service and access to their funds by ATM debit cards and writing checks in the same manner as before. Now, Signature Bank's official checks will continue to clear. The FDIC also said loan customers should continue making loan payments as usual. Now, Signature Bank had total assets of around $110 billion and total deposits of $82.6 billion as of December 31, 2020. Now, as receiver, the FDIC will operate Signature Bridge Bank to maximize the value of the institution for a future sale and to maintain banking services in the community formerly served by Signature Bank. Now, we already saw two large banks worth billions of dollars collapsing and going to zero within just 1 week. The Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank was the second and the third largest bank failure respectively. We still have to wait and see how things unfold in the upcoming days. A lot of startups will be impacted around the world, maybe few banks, and the market will show a a few ups and downs probably, but don't worry, I've got it covered for you. So this is it for the episode. I'll be dropping another episode this week, and press the follow button to not miss out on any upcoming episode. Drop a like, review, and share it with your friends and family. You can contact me on LinkedIn, Twitter, or via email for any ideas, questions, or just a chit chat. Links in the description. Till that time, keep hustling, keep growing, keep educating yourself, and don't miss out on opportunities. Also, don't make stupid mistakes like these bank debts. You're listening to Tip to the Biz Show, and I'm your podcast host, Chirag Arya, signing off.